News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. You've got an update on that traffic deal?
Yeah, for those of you who have been sitting in traffic a lot this morning, westbound I-10 was a major problem, accident around 4 a.m. with injuries. Wrecker already came, took that vehicle off, so it's open, although I hear moving slowly. And then we had the problem on northbound 65, which you heard Kane just talk about there, I guess an accident between government and airport on northbound 65. Now we're seeing on the Cottage Hill Road overpass on 65, which is in between, the right lane blocked, so you'll want to get in the left lane if you're moving north on 65.
Also, our guest this hour, Chris Callahan, was crafty enough to get around the traffic problem on Moffitt Road in snow this morning. Correct, Chris?
That's correct.
So he came in to visit with us and quickly had one more traffic update. So careful at that way as well.
Yeah, and Judge Callahan does join us this morning as we are now, let's see, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 5 days out from the Super Tuesday primaries that are coming up. And understand from the text line, it's your birthday. So happy birthday, and thanks for coming in with us.
Thank you.
Good to be with you. Judge, like Dalton says, we're down the stretch now. I don't believe we're going to kind of shut it off in terms of having candidates next week, our show anyway, I believe. And you may disagree, but in any event, we just think it's kind of close to poisoning the well. But in any event, Tuesday's the day. What do you see? What are the numbers? How do you feel?
I feel really good. The numbers have been very positive for us throughout the entire process. They continue to be positive, and I'm looking forward to a good turnout. I just would encourage everybody, make sure you go vote.
So you're running for Mobile County Circuit Court Judge, currently a district court judge, and you've been working around here for a long time now, and the mud really started being slung in this race, I guess, about a week and a half ago.
Monday or so, yeah.
You expect that in some of these bigger races, like the congressional race we've seen with Jerry Carl and Barry Moore, but now in the circuit court race. And really appreciate you coming in to respond to this. I know you haven't. I know you've been asked by a lot of folks to respond. And your opponent, I don't know if it came down directly from her, but they're pushing back against a story that really hits close to your heart. You could tell when you talk to you about when you were working in the police department in Fulton County, Georgia, and something that happened to you. They're saying that you're not telling the truth about that. Can you kind of clear that up for us here?
Sure, I'd be glad to. First, want to clear up, I am a municipal court judge currently. I was a special district court judge for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. Currently, I'm a municipal court judge. Part of the reason that I decided, I had thought already that I wanted to be, back when I was a police officer, that I wanted to be a judge one day. And there's I could go over it. We could sit here all day and talk about different things.
We've got time.
When I ran for district court judge, I had a video out that talked about one of the reasons I want to become a judge, and it had to do with somebody who was out of jail, I didn't think should have been out of jail. I think a judge let him out, and they were violent, and they killed one of my friends. And then I had made an advertisement. It's on, you can go to Google on YouTube or whatever for district court and look at it there if you want to. But, in that video, I said that, we responded to the scene. I said that, and understand, there were probably 50 or more officers there.
Okay? I would think this is when an officer was shot. When an officer is shot, right away, it's got to be mayhem.
That's right. And on the video, I say, he died instantly. I said, we got him out of the car. We tried to do CPR because this is a police officer. At the time, I didn't know he was dead. I just had just arrived on the scene. And I said that it felt like he died in my arms. I know he didn't, but it felt like it. I mean, anybody can go to YouTube and watch that video. But nonetheless, just as a dirty dossier, dirty politics hit piece, somebody went out and Vicki Davis's campaign actually made a statement taking credit for the investigation part of that, and found three people who were on the scene to sign affidavits that said they don't remember me being on the scene 21 years ago. Well, you know what? I don't remember any of them three being on the scene either. Out of all the officers who were there, and there were all sorts of agencies that responded, I remember one other officer. That's all I remember.
I'm sure the night was emotional.
You get there, you have tunnel vision, it was emotional. But I was there. I deny their accusations 100%. And they're just wrong. It's just dirty politics. It's nothing more than what Hillary Clinton tried to do to Donald Trump. You know, they come up with this dirty dossier that they spent, I think they said 2 years investigating, and say, well, you've got to respond within a week. I don't have to. I was there, you know. But the whole thing is, that's why I really wanted to become a judge, is because I think that we should not be letting violent offenders out of jail. We need to do a better job of really doing a deep dive when we're looking at somebody violent as to whether they should be able to get out of jail or not.
Do you think the timing of this was they meant to put it out 1 week prior? I mean, it seems obvious.
Oh, of course. Of course. Is what do they call an October surprise in March? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's not what I'm focused on. I mean, this race has been, from my opponents in, has been so dirty. So dirty. I think they even have a PAC running this ad that y'all just ran because she knows it's a lie. And if she ran it herself, she would be in violation herself of the judicial canons. So that's why they have this PAC doing it. Then they can say, well, we didn't do it. But nonetheless, what I want to focus on, though, is I want to focus on Mobile County, keeping Mobile County safe. I mean, I've got 31 years in the legal field experience. I started at the jail. I worked at the police department. I was a homicide detective. I became an attorney and practiced law. And I have practiced criminal law. I have practiced civil law. I've prosecuted. I've defended in both civil and criminal cases. I've tried cases in municipal court, district court, circuit court, federal court. I've even been to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. For the past 5 years, I've been a municipal judge. For 2.5 years, I was a special district court judge. I have 31 years experience and ready to do this. Secondly, you know, it's about a mindset. I believe that the people in the court, of all the people in the courtroom, the judge is probably the least important person there. You know, we're there to serve the people. That's why the people get to pick who they want to vote for. It's the people who get to pick. The bureaucrats don't get to pick who we vote for. The people get to decide. Judge Patterson was known as the people's judge, and that's why the people chose him. He wasn't the bureaucrat's pick. He wasn't the establishment pick. He was the people's pick. And I want to follow his legacy and be the people's judge. You know, I have owned businesses. I have, you know, I haven't just worked for the government my whole life. You know, I think my opponent says that she's a career prosecutor. That's great. You know, Fannie Willis is a career prosecutor. Kamala Harris is a career prosecutor. But here's the bottom line. Values matter, and Republican values matter. I am a lifelong Republican. I vote in Republican primaries. I vote Republican in the general elections. I ran for school board in Cobb County, Georgia, in my late 20s, early 30s as a Republican. Ran for district court 2 years ago for a full-time district court job as a Republican. My opponent ran for district court as a Democrat and lost. That's why she's running as a Republican now. My opponent voted in the 2018 Democrat primary. You know, we can only get records back for 6 years. My opponent voted in the 2020 Democrat presidential primary. In 2022, just 2 short years ago, my opponent was giving money to a Democratic candidate. And then all of a sudden gets this temporary appointment after the untimely passing of Judge Patterson and says, well, I'm a Republican now. It doesn't work like that. You know, it just doesn't. It's about values. And Republican values and Democrat values are just different. You know, the most important people in that courtroom in a civil case are the plaintiff and the defendant. Their lives are going to change in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
In a criminal case, it's the victim and the defendant. Their lives are going to change. The lawyers are going home. The judges are going home. When the people either go home or go to jail, their lives are changed in some way. I was trying to, as a judge, I was trying a civil case, maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. And at the end of the case, one of the litigants came up to me and said, hey, I just want to thank you so much. And I said, but you didn't win the case. And she said, no, but for 2.5 years, I wanted somebody to listen to my story, and nobody would listen. And you listened to my story. You listened to everything I had to say.
Yeah, you remember that story last time you were here. So when you talk about a safer Mobile,
yes,
what is the pathway to that? Because we're all starving for a safer Mobile. This guy's got 2 kids under 5 years old. We don't want this mess going on in our streets, right?
That's right.
We hate it.
That's right.
All right, so what's the pathway and what role would you play in that position to help us achieve that pathway?
Well, as a judge, I want to be able to hold fair trials, okay, and fair hearings. Not that, you know, a lot of cases don't get to trial. There's a lot of hearings that happen before then. But a lot of those hearings have to do with whether a violent offender can get out of jail. A lot of it has to do with if he does have a bond or if she does have a bond, what are those conditions? And so a judge can set bond conditions based on the circumstances. No two cases are alike. A judge has to be able to use judicial discretion to look at the cases, look at every case and all of the facts that they can gather and make wise decisions. So that's one way. The other way is, you know, some stuff we're already doing. I'm a member of Men United Against Violence here with John Young in our county.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the things that I've learned, and I'll put it this way, for being a police officer and an attorney and a judge, is that a lot of people who wind up in jail who commit crimes are not educated.
Mm-hmm.
Educated people don't go to jail near as much. Okay, so I have already been talking with local pastors and as well as other leaders, business leaders, pastors, things like that. You know, why can't we start adult education programs in some of the churches for people who want to learn how to read and write? I mean, a lot of the people I used to arrest would be adults, and they couldn't read and write, you know, and there's got to be a correlation there, you know.
Yeah, I think there certainly is.
A correlation.
A hopelessness.
A correlation with, you know, family life, education, of course. But we've seen the recidivism rate is a major, major, major issue. And it's been said before, you know, if you take the main criminals off the streets and take them off for a long time, the numbers would drop dramatically.
Yeah.
Because it's very often the same people committing the same crimes. They get out and they go do the same thing on bond or whatever they may be doing. That's an issue around here, certainly. And I know that in certain instances, judges' hands are tied by the law. But do you see that same thing, that the recidivism rate is a major problem here?
You know, I think human nature, going back to Adam and Eve, when, you know, when man fell in Genesis 3, we're going to be dealing with the sin problem until Jesus comes back, okay? Accountability. So we take God out of the schools, we lose that accountability. We start educating our children to not believe in God, we take away that accountability. In the courts, we help people stay accountable. You know, I mean, in my current court where I sit in municipal court, I have review dockets where people who might be on what we call a deferred adjudication, they might plead guilty to something, and I may say, okay, you're going to start coming in with me a review. I mean, in municipal court, we don't have a drug court. We don't have a mental health court. We don't have veterans court. So we have to get creative on how we help a veteran who's, say, self-medicating with marijuana or alcohol or something like that. We may have to give them referrals to counselors and say, come in and talk to us and let us get reports from your counselor. And a lot of times we can do a deferred adjudication. It might take a year sometimes. It might take 2 years sometimes. But I've seen lives change through that process. And I know some of the circuit court judges now currently do stuff like that. And that's certainly something that I would be amenable to do. In fact, I had a conversation with the defense bar yesterday about this very thing, and plan on talking to Mr. Blackwood about this as well and getting his ideas. I think we all have to be on the same page. We have to be talking to the police chief, the sheriff, all the police chiefs, not just Mobile, but this is countywide. So everywhere from, you know, Mount Vernon down to Dauphin Island. It's not just about Mobile City.
We're talking with Judge Chris Callahan. He'll be on the ballot come Tuesday, Mobile GOP, a primary ballot for circuit court judge. And you mentioned that relationship with city officials, law enforcement officials, and, you know, endorsements come, they go. It happens every single election cycle. But I'm wondering, if you do win on Tuesday, we've seen the sparks fly in this race, right, obviously, and we've seen the endorsements come through. Will you be able to work with, you know, a lot of these people who maybe have endorsed your opponent?
Absolutely. Listen, you don't get into the game of politics unless you can take a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't hold anything personally against anybody. I will work with anyone to achieve our common goal. And on March 6th, all the Republicans, we should all be friends, you know. But I don't hold anything personal against anybody who's supported my opponent or anything like that. I'm just not that person. If you'll notice, I haven't I haven't levied any personal attacks or done any gutter politics or anything like that. I mean, I've pointed out her record of voting Democrat, of being a lifelong Democrat. But that's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as gutter politics and all that, I don't engage in it, and I don't take it personal. So, yes, I'll be able to work with anybody who supported my opponent.
We appreciate so much you coming in today, man.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a bunch.
I know your website, judgechriscallahan.org. You'll be on the primary ballot Tuesday, and best of luck to you.
Thank you.
Chris Callahan, running for circuit court judge. It's 8:22 on FM Talk 106.5 and Dan and Dalton. NFL Combine going on this week and weekend in Indianapolis. It's not so much what's your 40 time, it's do you believe in space? We'll get to that. We'll get to that story before we wrap it up here.
I believe in space, and I think it was proven at the Combine because Dallas Turner is an alien. Let me tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. From Bama.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Absolutely unbelievable.
His numbers are unreal. That's a great player.
Yeah, so how do you explain that? Because he is an alien.
Yeah.
He's come from somewhere else.
South Florida.
big news yesterday that Senator Katie Britt is the chosen one. She will be the Republican response on March 7th to Joe Biden's State of the Union address. And
quite an honor.
Yeah, and if you think about it, makes perfect sense, right? They always kind of line that up, whether it's the Democrats responding to a Republican State of the Union or Republicans to a Democrat SOTU. They kind of use that as a proving ground, right, for some new fresh faces that maybe will have a big mark on the national stage. Didn't Obama give the Democrat response back when he was a senator?
I think he did. And
may have.
Well, he did it at the convention. It's where he made his mark.
Where he blew up there.
I believe so, yeah.
But, you know, the Democrats tried it. Was it Stacey Abrams a few years back who gave so you could tell it's always someone who they have higher plans for when they choose them to give the rebuttal, and that's Katie Britt. And I know that a lot of America has met and seen Katie Britt, but those are usually pretty short hits on Fox or well,
She wrote a book. She got on TV because she wrote a book, and that gives you the automatic pass to get on TV. And she went down to the border and was that was a very public event, too.
So she's playing things the right way, but this will be the first time America gets a, I think, extended look at a Katie Britt speech.
That's a good
point.
I bet
she's nervous going in. I don't know.
I don't see many nerves in her. You know, I was at an event, it was two Mardi Gras ago or so, freezing cold downtown, and she was meeting with a group down there, and she's very affable. She's easy around people. Very appealing in that way.
Right? Yeah. And kind of was a long internship that prepared her for this job. We'll see how quickly she continues to move up.
She seems to be prepared. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Good morning to you.
Yeah, major problems on I-10. Pretty much all the way through Daphne and Malbus, three different accidents on I-10 westbound. That has been a problem all morning long since about 4 a.m., first accident out there. So everyone be careful, especially if you're traveling I-10 westbound. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive where we talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. And speaking of accidents today, with the rain coming down, if something does happen to your ride, which we hope it doesn't, McConnell Automotive, you guys know how to fix it up and fix it up right.
That's right. We got a great body shop. Like I always said, Thomas and all the girls and the guys will take care of all your insurance needs and do a great job repairing your car. So you come check us out or give them a call back there, 251-476-4141, if you have that unfortunate accident. But looks like the rain's going to get out of here, and hopefully we'll have a half-decent weekend. We're going to be there tomorrow, hopefully to sell a few cars and today. And we should know the new interest rates and the new rebates on all the trucks, the new vehicles come today or first thing Monday morning. So we'll try to get those up on the website and check that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com.
It's that easy. Pretty much everything at McConnell Automotive is easy. That's what you do for the customer. We appreciate your time, Louis.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louis Raddick. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and a lousy, got to call him like we see him. It's a, if it's a nice morning, we will crow about that, but it is a lousy morning, and it's coming along with, it's contributing to all these problems on back roads and interstates alike.
Yeah, certainly. On the text line, Tina from Orange Beach says, will Judge Davis be on your show? Yeah, we've had Judge Davis on twice in the last 2 weeks. We've now had Judge Callahan on twice in the last few weeks, too.
Try to even it out.
Evening it out as we head into the primaries on Tuesday. And interesting poll with Jerry Carl and Barry Moore. We'll get into that some here in a little bit.
That was interesting.
But I saw this, and I noted it, like I do many things. Like, hey, this might be worth talking about. You watch... I don't know if you ever watched the Tucker Carlson with Putin from a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good piece of journalism. I thought it was a good thing that he went out there and talked with Putin, because no one will post anything that Putin says. There's been no interviews, and the same people who were calling for Tucker Carlson to be charged as treasonous.
Just stay in Russia.
Stay in Russia. There was allegedly a hit put out on him in Russia. And again, you got to take a lot of that with a grain of salt. But Russia claims they caught a Ukrainian assassin whose his job was to blow up Tucker Carlson's vehicle in the parking garage of, I guess it was the Four Seasons. I don't know if that's what it was, the hotel, but where he was staying in Russia. Russia police said they stopped him before it happened. And some people are saying that maybe even some Americans may have had a hand in that. But regardless, the main point here is everyone was going after Tucker Carlson for an interview with Vladimir Putin, the biggest conflict on the world stage right now that could very well lead to World War III, and we're not allowed to hear from the other side. Then you had, was it NBC News that sent people out to interview Hamas fighters? And there wasn't any, it's like they went out and interviewed some people who were fighting for Hamas. There wasn't near the pushback on that. And then now I'm seeing that last week during Congress's week off, which I think we can all agree they really needed, right? They needed that week.
They were bushed.
They were tired. You had Pramila Jayapal from Washington and Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, two of the most socialist left-wing politicians in American government.
Squatters.
Went to Cuba. A secret trip to Cuba. Jayapal, who is the chairwoman of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and Omar, who is the deputy chairwoman, led a delegation of about a dozen people to the communist island.
I read about it, so it turned out not to be a secret, but was it intended to be? Can you, as a congresswoman, can you do things in secret? I mean, Lloyd Austin did. He had medical procedures in secret, but... traveling to Cuba, and there was no announcement ahead of the travel.
It may have been one of those don't ask for permission and then don't ask. Don't give an apology. You know, most people say, don't ask for permission and apologize later.
Yeah, though,
their plan was to not ask for permission and then not apologize.
No, they don't feel like they've got to apologize. And so you go into Cuba where people are persecuted and people. So what exactly was there? Was it a fact-finding mission? Who did they talk to? Were they talking with the Cuban government? Were they talking with the citizens? What was the reason for them going there? And you can get there in a blink, by the way. You can see it from Miami pretty much.
So, of course, Cuba has been under an embargo for decades with America.
We don't deal with that.
The spokesperson for the Progressive Caucus explained it this way to the Miami Herald, where they don't take too kindly, mostly, to Cuban communist sympathizers.
Right.
Many of them escaped that regime.
Right.
It said Representatives Jayapal and Omar traveled to Cuba last week, where they met with people from across Cuban civil society and government officials to discuss human rights and the U.S.-Cuba bilateral relationship. Interestingly enough, their trip overlapped with a trip to Havana by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Mm. So he was there as part of a Latin American tour. It's just the blatant hypocrisy, which I think we all expect at this point. It was interesting, some of the response from Republicans. Representative Nicole Malliotakis, who's been making her name known a lot more nationally these last few weeks, said all members of the media should refer to the Progressive Caucus by their more accurate name, the Congressional Communist Sympathizing Caucus. She said, it's outrageous that members of Congress would visit a country that jails, abuses, and murders their citizens and supports Iran, Russia, and communist China against our interests.
That's my point. What are they doing there? What are they doing there? And if what they were going to do was going to be so high horse and a wonderful idea, why did they not even talk about it in advance to say, hey, we've got a great idea, we're going to Cuba? It's just the whole thing is just weird.
So Representative Carlos Jimenez out of Florida, who is a Cuban exile.
I bet he's not. He had something to say.
He said the murderous dictatorship in Cuba must be defeated, not appeased. Senator Marco Rubio, son of Cuban immigrants, he said pro-Hamas, pro-Hamas members of Marxist Congressional Squad just returned from a secret visit with anti-American dictatorship in Cuba.
How about this? Let's paint a little picture here. A little story time with Dan and Dalton. They go down to Cuba, for whatever their reasons are, mm-hmm. and suddenly, bad people got them. They are now hostages.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Yeah. What would our country response would have been? How desperate would they have been to please come get us? That would have been just an ironic twist on this. Now, it didn't happen. I'm glad it didn't happen.
Obviously, yeah.
Maybe I'm glad it didn't happen. But if it could have happened, and then you would have put, it's almost like when they say, when you don't want to do something irresponsible to put the people who are going to save you in their own peril.
Right.
So that could have happened. We only have so many lifeguards on the beach. Don't go swimming today. We have rip current.
That is the exact analogy I was about to go
but
for.
But you go into the surf anyway, and now you've got three people who are trying to pull you out that have put their life on the line. Could have happened.
And maybe, criminal gangs in Cuba, maybe they would have done that. But the Cuban government would not have done that to their socialist princesses that came down from America. And really, I don't have a problem with our representatives talking with anyone, as long as it's, as long as you know what their intent is,
right,
or they make it public what they're planning to do.
What are they talking about?
That's why this whole Tucker Carlson charge him as a traitor for talking to Vladimir Putin is just, first off, so disingenuous, so obviously politically motivated, and just completely wrong on its face. I don't have a problem with someone going down to interview, Cuban dictator. I don't have a problem with it. Just be straightforward. Put it out there so that us Americans can make our own minds up and say, hey, that person is a crazy communist who wants everyone to die.
Here's some differences in Carlson in Russia and Jayapal and company in Cuba.
Omar, yep.
Couple of things. Number one, Carlson is
a journalist.
He's a journalist.
Yeah.
He was there doing a job. Number two, most everything that he said to Putin and Putin said to Carlson, we saw, we heard. Okay?
Yeah.
It's all out there. Unless they had over a cup of coffee before the taping, one said one to the other, whatever. But basically, they go there, he goes there, and it's all out in the open what the conversation was. Mm-hmm. We can judge it for ourselves.
And we saw it was frosty between them, too.
Yeah.
It wasn't like,
no,
hey, good old buddy.
Awkward. Buddies at bowl on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
It did get awkward. Now, as opposed to Carlson, a journalist, these folks, I guess most of them were elected officials, members of Congress, or their parties, or their liaisons. So they're elected officials. They have a certain role in America.
Mm-hmm.
Carlson, everything was out in the open. We saw what was said. Jayapal and them, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know who they spoke with. We don't know what those conversations were like. It's garbage.
It is complete garbage, and garbage that they will skate on. No one's going to come after them except for a few mean tweets from Marco Rubio and maybe a couple other people. And they are both, of course, pushing to remove Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism. So I just thought that was kind of an interesting story to come out yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we talked about that poll a little bit this morning, the Jerry Carl Barry Moore poll. And while
Johnny Carson says I have it right here.
I have it right here.
Russ Limbaugh. I have it right here in my hand. Yeah.
And you've got, what, Carl up 8 points according to this AUM poll?
Yeah, Auburn-Montgomery poll showed that about 2,000 likely Republican voters were surveyed, and this was just a couple of days ago, the 27th. So this quick turnaround on this. Mm-hmm. The GOP primary voters showed 43% plan to vote for Jerry Carl, 35% plan to vote for Moore, 22% are undecided. The two congressmen are engaged in a competitive primary as a result of the court-drawn redistricting map. You're all aware of that. Well, I say that, but maybe some of you are just now catching up to exactly what's going on. Sometimes we are in the news so deep and repeat it over and over that we just assume everybody is at the same stepping point that we are. But if you're not, the redistricting redistricted these
new lines,
and now Barry Moore, who was a sitting representative in District 2, his district now is one. Mm-hmm. And instead of just kind of cashing his chips and saying, well, that's going to be a Democratic win, he comes over to District 1 and says, no, I'll run against Carl. That's where it all started.
It's notable that they did this poll on Tuesday. That's when they fielded the poll.
Yep.
Right? So exactly a week out from the primary this coming Tuesday, and 22% are still undecided.
That is interesting. And I think that it might not be they're undecided, Dalton, because of that they just don't know any better. You know, I think a lot of people through this have got their opinions of Carl and Moore. They're just trying to sort it all out. It's two conservative Republicans. They have different ways of doing their business when they get to Washington. We understand that. But they're just trying to sort it all out. Like, yeah. We know what the differences are. There's also a lot of similarities between the two of them, too.
They're standing in the produce section looking at a bunch of apples, trying to decide whether to go with Granny Smith or another one, too, because there's so many similarities between these two. I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I do, too. So, but I would rather be 43%. I'd rather be up 8%. While the 22% try to make up their mind.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would dispute that. 848 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. The NFL draft and I was going to say candidate. That's how wrapped up I am in these political things. But
the prospect.
A prospect who doesn't believe in space.
Yep.
Will it hurt or help him as he tries to make millions of dollars in the NFL?
If
we'll discuss.
You look up. That should help you believe in space. 849, Dan and Dalton. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 853, El Mobile Mornings on your Friday. Okay, here we go. Mark these dates. The weekend of March 15th, 16th, and 17th down at, you know where, The Wharf. It's the premier boat show on the Gulf Coast, The Wharf Boat and Yacht Show. Circle Yacht. I love getting on those yachts down there at the marina. It's fantastic. Over $100 million in boats on display at the wharf. It's an outdoor event. You can relax. The weather's generally pretty nice, so it's great. 700 trailerable boats. That means right there on land. And 140 boats to view, and yachts as well, in the water at the Wharf Marina. It is absolutely spectacular. More than 100 exhibitors. So they're going to have exhibitors there featuring all kinds of the latest marine accessories, electronics, and just all the stuff that we love because we love the coastal lifestyle. That's what this event is all about. All at the exciting wharf, the entertainment complex down there, restaurants, shops, activities. The parking is absolutely free. March 15th. Through the 17th, the Wharf Boat and Yacht Show returning to Orange Beach. Find out more at thewharfboatshow.com and on Facebook. And remember, the best boating deals, too. You want to make a deal right there. The Wharf Boat and Yacht Show.
The big announcement from the Mobile Airport Authority this morning. Thank you, David, who is our flight journalist, I would say. Mobile Regional. So they're still stacking up flights there as they prepare the move for downtown at Brooklyn Aeroplex. United Airlines announced new nonstop service to Washington, D.C., twice daily nonstop service beginning June 27th from Mobile Regional to Dulles International and back. So that's the big announcement this morning. Great news for people who are running for Congress and maybe leaving out of Mobile here in these next couple weeks.
There you go. Hey, quick shout out real quick.
Please,
last night,
that was shout
an event,
it out.
Great event, Advertising Federation Awards last night, and my son Joseph won a couple of golds for the work he did for Visit Mobile, and I think it's a wonderful piece. It's very artistic and beautiful. It's about the history of Mobile, and you can we've had that posted on our Facebook page. This is just not some kid's you know, he's a grown man, and it's a beautiful piece, and it won gold. So check it out on our Facebook page.
Yeah, congrats, Joseph. That's awesome. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show. He'll have his usual Friday guests, Todd Stacey at 9:30, April Marie Fogle at 10:30, and State Senator Chris Elliott at 11:30. Sprinkled in between, though, in the 10 and 11 o'clock hours, Congressman Barry Moore at 10 o'clock, and Congressman Jerry Carl at 11, the
there
way things
go.
Are looking right now. NFL Combine is going on this week, and really, there's not a whole lot of reason. I used to be the guy that would watch. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd watch the Combine performances. Everyone used to run and bench and perform. It's not the case anymore. But you still get some gems out of interviews with the media. And Texas Tech cornerback by the name of Tyler Owens. I don't know how good he is. I don't know.
I heard he's pretty good. I heard that he is a real prospect.
Well, he better be, because he has some interesting thoughts on what's going on outside of this atmosphere. Apparently, Tyler Owens told the media he does not believe in space, as in he doesn't believe in other planets.
Right. No, here's his quote. May I?
Please.
I don't believe in space, Owens said straight-faced. I don't think there's other planets and stuff like that.
He said, I thought I used to believe in the heliocentric thing, where we used to revolve around the sun and stuff. But then I started seeing flat Earth stuff.
Oh.
And I was like, this is kind of interesting. He said they started bringing up valid points. So, I mean, I don't know. Could be real. Couldn't be.
He said one of those 22% undecided.
And I know most fans of NFL teams are like, that is ridiculous. I wonder if it'll make him slip and we can pick him up in the seventh round. They still want him.
I heard another opinion about that was, that's good. You want a player that is completely focused on football and doesn't even know if there's space
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
His focus is on football. Is there space? Are there other planets? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. I don't care. It's 3rd and 8. I got to make a tackle.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, there are aliens, and they walk among us, and many of them are at the Combine this week.
Many went to Alabama.
Many of them did. Like Dallas Turner, his day yesterday. So first off, he just ran an unbelievable 40 for his size. His broad jump was insane. But it's his vertical leap that has people looking at Dallas Turner. He's probably likely to be the first defensive player off the board.
Yeah, it's 6'3 defensive end.
40.5-inch vertical. That's the second-best vertical jump, tied for the second-best vertical jump at the NBA Combine. He's by far the highest vertical of the NFL Combiners this year. He would have had the second-best vertical at the NBA Combine.
Wow. Where your job is to jump.
Exactly. That's crazy.
8:59, Jeff Poor on the way. Dan and Dalton, see you Monday.